T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello and welcome to yet another Diddy Takeover of Offsides with Mark Ryan. I am Diddy, your host for the next 3 hours of sports talk real estate, joined in studio behind the board by the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only, Lonzo. How are you doing today,
Paul? I was waiting. This is the first time we worked together.
I know.
Where is his levels going to be? You didn't yell like Mark Ryan did.
No.
You had a little bit of level.
Projection.
There, so, yeah,
it's all about projection.
There we go.
That's what they taught me there in that communications program.
I'm sure Mark isn't yelling right now, but he is. He's alive and well, people.
Doing well. He's out and recovering is what we're calling it. Sleeping, hopefully. He needs to sleep. We got a big, big show, as Mark would call it, a Friday Eve show. I'm not sure about that. I've always questioned that one. I got to talk to him about that. But lots of stuff to get to. And man, oh man, does it feel good for me to be back right here on ESPN Upstate. We want to hear from you throughout the show. Give us a call, 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. Or text us on the text line, 71307. Make sure to start your message with ESPN so we know you're not talking about any kind of impeachments, because we don't have those in this world. We just talk about, you know, lies and quarterbacks apologizing 7 days after the fact and all of those things. But we're going to talk some Carolina Panthers later on around 2:20 with ESPNUpstate.com blogger and Carolina Panthers insider Matt Hogan. But usually I come on and I haven't been able to host in a little bit of time. This one's even different because I just haven't been on air with you guys for a little over a month. So I've got a couple things to kind of get back to. I'm not going to go too deep into the well because it has been quite some time, but a couple of stories, and really they're only over the last couple weeks, I just want to quickly touch on to kind of get things going. First of all is the one that kind of rubs people the wrong way, I guess, in every kind of direction. It's Colin Kaepernick and everything going on, but I'm going to take a slightly different approach than what you're used to hearing. Obviously, we know what happened last Saturday. We saw everything go down. There was supposed to be the tryout, the workout. He changed locations. Only a few teams went, blah, blah, blah. We've heard all of that. But I'm going to make it really simple here. In the end, when all was said and done on Saturday, both sides just looked like complete idiots, really, for all of it. It's not a question anymore of football abilities. It really hasn't been about the flag for 3 years, as it's hard to protest while you're not on the football field, and he hasn't been for 3 years. So it's really not about any of that anymore. It's really just now about how Kaepernick and the NFL can each try to one-up each other and tick each other off and take an angle on each other from now on to show that one of them's the winner in this in some way. I mean, the NFL was obviously shady in a lot of ways leading into it. They flat-out lied about a lot of things. We saw the proof of that on Saturday, the waiver, all of the other stuff. But in reality, and I'm not going to take the Stephen A. Smith crazy angle, but in reality, there could have been stuff done on Cap's side of things to give a little bit of a better angle for him, a better showing for him, and maybe come out as the winner in this, because all you have to do is show up. You don't have to show up and sign the waiver if you're fighting the waiver. If you have a lawyer telling you don't sign the waiver, it doesn't tell you not to show up. You didn't show up, and that's what caused change of value venue. That's what caused the ability for a Stephen A. Smith, Damian Woody, Tiki Barber, any of these other guys to come after you as your character. What do you really want? Because you didn't show up. You could have showed up and said, you see this? Why is it different than this waiver? And then there's actually you on the right side of this. Instead, you have the ambiguity. You have to one-up the NFL. You decide to move. You take two-thirds of the NFL's teams who showed up to watch you work out and erase them. And you got eight. And yeah, I don't believe he doesn't want to work or he doesn't want to play. But I believe he's got too much headstrongness to just say, hey, this waiver's garbage, but let me play. If you showed up, things are completely different this whole week, and nobody's yelling at each other, T.O. and Stephen A. Smith and all that garbage.
Here's the thing. You know, he had a chance to prove that the NFL is doing everything that he's saying that they're doing to him.
Yeah.
All he had to do is show up. You're right. But to me, this is a guy, and I've said this for a long time, this is a guy who lost his job and decided to start a crusade. It got bigger than what he thought it would be, mm-hmm. and now he knows that if he comes back and doesn't play well, just like he did before he left, he loses everything.
Yeah.
So he loses more by playing than he does by not playing.
Yeah, and to be honest, from a football aspect of this whole thing, it's hard for me in any way to fathom a guy can still be sharp enough and fast enough in reaction time to jump right back into the NFL after 3 years without seeing it, without seeing a single game in front of you happening in that speed and that precision that you have to play at that level. It's just hard for me to see that coming back after this long layoff. But again, it shouldn't have to. It's beyond football. It's beyond the flag now. It's beyond everything everybody was mad about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's now literally just a ego measuring competition between the NFL and Colin Kaepernick. And literally, we all lose. Everybody lost on Saturday. And now it continues to the fact that, you know, as I'm prepping for the show and forgot to change the channel fast enough, I catch Stephen A. Smith and T.O. yelling at each other. It's still about this. And it just blows my mind. It's something that could have changed completely if he just shows up and says, this waiver's garbage. My lawyer right here tells me this is not something I should sign. I would love to get out there and show you what I still got, but we need to talk about this. He looks like the winner and the good guy in the situation, and it looks even worse that the NFL lied about those things he tweeted and all the other things that went on. But the next big story is a story that keeps giving, and the next big story I missed was the fight. There's the huge fight a week ago. Mark Ryan had some takes, I would say, about Mason Rudolph. We also heard from a guest of the show saying that a baseball bat is not as scary or more scary than a helmet.
You know,
I can't remember
which
one he said.
He said he would rather be hit by a baseball bat.
That's right,
bat.
Yes, yeah, and that's crazy.
You know, it's pretty bad, you know, that I'm arguing with this guy, and later on I go and I look and see that he is a very large individual.
He's a large man.
Not that I care, but, you know, it's just, I'm sorry, and listeners got on this too. I would rather be hit with a baseball than a baseball bat any day. Sorry, because I'm the one who brought up the baseball bat and in the conversation that I believe that him swinging the helmet is just like you don't see a baseball player coming out with his bat and swinging it and hitting someone in the head. And you don't see a hockey player high-sticking someone if you do. And I'm pretty sure it was McSorley. I can't remember. It was that whole deal. Split someone's skull and ended up getting arrested for battery. I mean, there are places you don't go.
Exactly. And you saw, I mean, there's been other things too. We saw, was it Jose Offerman when he was playing, I think, for the Paw Sox in AAA for the Red Sox. He sidekicked the catcher before running out to get the pitcher so he could just take him out first. And I think he was charged with something because he used his cleats, which are metal spikes, when he kicked that catcher. But, you know, we see this whole fight last week, and my quick take on what happened, because we all know what happened, is pretty simple. And I don't know how it was, like, misconstrued in so many ways. It was like, okay, Mason wasn't wrong to react because he was hit late. So Garrett hit him late. That's the first wrong. Mason reacted badly by trying to kick him in the bad parts and then rip his helmet off. Wrong two. Wrong three. Garrett responds by ripping his helmet off. If it ends there, not a big deal, probably. Probably goes away. Maybe if there's some pushing, shoving, maybe a thrown punch, maybe. No big deal. If he throws that helmet 20 yards to his left and then swings with his left fist, he gets two games, probably. Maybe three. But obviously the big thing was he took the helmet and smashed it onto Mason Rudolph's head. Garrett apologized after the game right away for what happened. You can take it as he was or wasn't remorseful. You can take it as a lie. You can take it as reality. But what you can't tell me is that the apology from Rudolph this week, yesterday, 6 days after the fact, was not a lie. It was false. It was just fiction. His real thoughts, his true feelings came out Thursday night when he called Myles Garrett a coward and said he was Bush League. That was his real thoughts, because if it wasn't his real thoughts, we would have heard something Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. We didn't hear anything till Wednesday, which tells me the Rooney family, which tells me Goodell in the NFL, which tells me a lot of people were saying, hey, kid, you're the quarterback of one of the marquee franchises in the NFL now. People are mad that you had some role in this. They saw the actions. You tried to rip his helmet off. You tried to kick him where you shouldn't try to kick a man. So maybe you should apologize. And 6 days later, he gives a written response and literally points out multiple late hits earlier in the game, almost like justifying how his reactions were. Like, it's just a lie. At this point, why respond? At this point, why apologize? Because really, it wasn't about Mason Rudolph after maybe Monday or Tuesday, Sports Talk Radio getting on it. Mark Ryan saying Rudolph was in the wrong for trying to go after his manhood there. That's really where it ended with Mason Rudolph's part of this. Since then, it's been the Garrett suspension, the appeal, will he play, everything else. And we kind of stopped talking about the Brown or the Steelers side of the whole saga after Tuesday.
See, I don't know. I think I've heard an outcry of people like Mark Ryan and others saying that how come Rudolph got nothing after the suspension came down and people are still doing that. And I think this is just Pittsburgh trying to cover their butts a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to take the side of the South Carolina boy, Mason Rudolph, because, you know, regionalism is alive and well in this area. And we, you know, so we support our guy. And here's the other thing. You know, he was coming off a concussion, then he just got brained, and it probably took him a while to get his faculties together well enough to actually, you know, write a well-written letter. So, I mean, you know.
So you think he wrote this?
With some help.
With some help. Yeah, this is the PR team of the Pittsburgh Steelers all day. And it was for the Steelers to save face, but I think after, you know, Tuesday, there wasn't as bad of an outcry anymore. You didn't really hear anybody talking. You get that outcry immediately anyway. But if it's not that big of a deal, it doesn't survive more than a day or two on the 24-hour cycle. And it had cycled out before this apology. And I kind of agree with the guys on Levitard were talking about before us that they took the fun out of this whole thing now. Like, now it's all, like, serious and buttoned up. Like, oh, we're so sorry. I totally respect Myles Garrett. You don't respect him. You called the man a coward. A coward. That's not respect. That didn't change. He still hit you in the head with your own helmet.
See, I don't blame him for the first comment, and I think he should have stuck to that.
I think he should have stuck to it. I mean, at this point especially.
In the heat of the moment, you know, and everyone is basically saying the same thing that you're saying, that he was a coward for doing that. Even though he was provoked, that's a line you shouldn't cross. Don't apologize. Again, it's like if management here said, you shouldn't have said what you said, you need to read this.
Yeah.
And, of course, some of us who've had to read such things will do it in the best monotone we can do so people know this isn't us. This is us having to do it because they told us we had to.
I never meant to say such things. I apologize. That's really what this sounded like, too.
If I offended anybody.
This is what this sounded like. If you heard this audio today, it's exactly that. It was that monotone, that I don't mean this, but I'm being told I have to say it kind of statement by Mason Rudolph. And it is what it is. I'm not mad at Mason Rudolph. I just think it's a joke to even do it. And again, I think it brings too much focus back to the Steelers when the focus was off of them after this. It was back to Miles. It was back to, does he play? Should he play? Why is this a big deal to the NFLPA? Why is this a big deal for the NFL disciplinary? All of that was the story for the last 2 days, because the appeal started, I think, today, if I'm not mistaken. So we weren't talking about Mason Rudolph anymore. And really, I don't care about Mason Rudolph at all. So it's tough for me to have to bring him back in, because he was only in the conversation because he got hit by the helmet. You know, if it was the running back that got hit by the helmet, we don't care what Mason Rudolph's opinions are. So it's the fact that he was the victim of the final blow. And we all know, because we saw it happen, that he was a little bit of an instigator of the beginning of the whole thing. Real quick, let's get to Scott on the phones. Wants to talk about Mason Rudolph. Scott, welcome to the Diddy Takeover of Offsides.
Yeah, I'll keep it short. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why in this world we live in, you radio hosts have no grace for anyone. Couldn't the guy have just had a few days to clear his head and think things through and maybe say, you know what, I reacted in the heat of the moment. I've reflected. I don't feel that way anymore.
Okay.
You guys, you're always questioning and judging everybody's heart.
It's a week later.
Kind of old after a while.
It's a week later, though. An entire week has gone by.
You've never reflected on anything in your life and felt differently a week later. Come on, man.
I probably have, but I probably would have realized that I should apologize immediately when I try to kick somebody between the legs. It's just, the fact of the matter is that it was a blatantly scripted apology a week after the fact. This isn't a world that we live in as human beings in the regular world. This is the NFL. This is a constant news cycle where there's constantly media around you and you constantly have to answer questions. And there were numerous opportunities after this happened to at least step back a little bit. And he did not. What he believes, I can almost guarantee you, is that Myles Garrett is a coward. That is what Mason Rudolph believes, because Myles Garrett swung a helmet at his head in retaliation for a little scuffle. His belief is what he said last Thursday night. I do not believe this apology. This apology comes down from the Rooney family. The 2019 Gamecocks, though, oh, God, it's just a dumpster fire. I cannot even say enough. Not even sure how much more energy, to be honest, I have as a fan anymore to stay mad about it. So I guess that means the apathy might be settling in for Gamecock Nation. Lonzo and I will discuss this next on Offsides on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Feel free to chime in on the show. Give us a call, 844-477-3776. Even if you're mad at me, go ahead and give us a call. Tell us your thoughts. You can text us on the text line, 71307. Start that message with ESPN so we know you're talking to us. Twitter as well, at ESPN Upstate. Got some polls up on Twitter before we get into this Gamecocks topic. You can go vote on the four Twitter polls. Just tweeted out a fourth one for you. The first three aren't about this segment, so I'll hit those real quick. Your first poll segment of the day, which city most deserves an MLB franchise? Saw a little plan for Orlando pop up the other day, and we'll talk about that a little later in the show. Your options, Charlotte, Orlando, Nashville, or other, and we'd love for you to tell us what city you think it should be. Number two, who would you personally rank number one in the college football playoff ranking? Respond with your reasons. So far, we've got Clemson in the lead, which we should expect here in the upstate. Your options were Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, obviously, and then other, if you can try to explain to us how a one-loss team should be ranked number one over those three. And your third one, who is the upstate's NBA team? This is spinning off of a little bit of topics you guys have talked about here, Lonzo. You and Mark trying to investigate who the NFL team of the upstate is. So I figured, do we even have an NBA team? Does anybody here care? So your options, Hornets, Hawks, no team, which means we don't have one, and other, which you can tweet us your answer. Your last poll is about what we're going to talk about right now. And dumpster fire might be putting a little bit of a positive spin on the way it seems things are going right now down in Columbia. And before you freak out, drive off the car, call me cussing and yelling. I'm a Gamecock. Die hard. Every Saturday. I'm wearing my stuff right now. Gamecock all day. But reality is reality.
You want me to validate? Yes.
Yes,
he is wearing it. I know I could lie, but I'm not lying.
My hat's there. Just Carolina.
Yeah, yes. And he often wears that. So,
Mark Ryan's wrong. He doesn't never see anybody.
Well, Mark Ryan being wrong is not, it's not unusual.
But, you know, it's just right now, it's not putting it lightly. Dumpster fire is a nice term for the way things are going. It's year four. Again, I tweeted this on Saturday. I was watching game day, and they're talking about these coaches and the head coaches and how they're turning programs around and saying, if you're not winning in year three, you're not going to win. We're watching a possible 4-8 year four and have to be patient. Be cool with it. I was told by another host that I was a childish, ignorant person because I think that maybe it's time to move on from this. But either way, it doesn't change what dumpster fire is happening. The president's talking about how Ray Tanner's finding out how to pay off a $20 million buyout from FSU. And then, nope, whoops, just kidding. I didn't actually mean that. I feel like he meant that and just wasn't supposed to say it. You have all these things going on. You've got a student on the staff getting in trouble and kicked off the staff for fighting a guy making fun of Muschamp in 5 points on Halloween. which is kind of a killer costume. I'm really bummed that I did not think of this, wearing the Muschamp getup and carrying a big check that says buyout.
You know, I've been thinking about that a lot. If I didn't like my boss,
yeah,
would I be willing to wear said costume? Or if I did like my boss, am I willing to fight for my boss if I saw something like that?
If you're listening, of course we would, Mark Hendricks.
Yeah, I was going to say, if someone is impersonating Mr. Hendricks and does a good enough job, I'm going to applaud them. Because
that's fair.
There used to be a guy in the building who did a killer impersonation.
Nah, nice.
And he was on the rise, guys, and he was hilarious. He could sound mannerisms, everything. Yeah. So, but I don't think I would ever dress up like my boss. And I don't think I'd fight someone who did. It's just dumb. I don't get it.
Well, the best thing is the headline reactions. As this was getting shared around 2 days ago when it first dropped, a lot of people were thinking like, oh, he tried to fight him because he hates his boss. And he saw a guy dressed up as his boss, so he tried to fight him. So it's like, oh, this is how I get my rage out. Because it's not really Will, but it's someone that looks like him. But
I've always wanted to hit him.
Here's my chance. But it comes to find out he was defending Will by being offended by this guy's costume, making fun of Will and his buyout, which I don't think that's a joke towards Will. It's more of a joke on the university because we gave him an option to be bought out for $20 million, especially going 4-8, by the way. So dumpster fire. That's where we're at right now. So the question on the poll that we'll dive deeper into throughout the day is about our emotions. You have two guys that cheer for this football team sitting in this studio today. It's a rare day. You can't call us Clemson homers today because we're the polar opposite.
Yeah, because that guy's in recovery.
But the question on the poll, what is your first emotion as a Gamecock fan about this program right now? Sadness? Anger? Apathy? Or other? Are you happy? If you're happy, I'm sorry. 4-8 is not something that I've ever hoped would happen.
You know, I already faced the season with apathy because I thought Muschamp should have been gone last year. So, and then, you know, after Georgia, I dared to believe a little bit. I started to believe, and it's like, you know what? Maybe they're starting to turn around. Maybe it's starting to happen. And then App State happened, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'm done.
You waited till App State after Georgia.
I did.
Tennessee did it for me. When you can go into Athens and win somehow, and then you go up and get blown out by this year's Tennessee team, just blown out in the second half. That's where my apathy, I think, really came into play, because I think that's what I'm trying to explain right now, where I lost the ability to have any more energy to actually muster these other emotions anymore. To muster a sense of sadness when they lose a game they should win and be like, man, I wish we were better. Or to muster the anger when you watch a game like we watched against App State. Or last Saturday, the worst football game I think I've ever sat through. Just boring on both sides. Horrible against A&M.
You know what I wish? I wish you could give this poll to all the players right now. Because I'd be curious to see what they would say. And unfortunately, it looks like the apathy thing would be there. Because that's how they're playing.
They are playing. The game we watched on Saturday in College Station, that was an apathetic bunch. I'm not going to go as far as to proclaim that he's lost his clubhouse. He's lost his locker room. Will Muschamp. But those guys aren't fired up out there when they're playing the way we saw them play. The defense seemed fired up coming out. Obviously, they wore down because the offense just couldn't even do a thing to keep them off the field. But there's something going on there that's just not motivating these guys when they need to be motivated to win these games. We were told all summer, best team Muschamps had. And people were including the Florida teams. We were told this was the deepest team he's ever had. The most talented team he's ever had. And we're walking into a matchup with a number 3 overall that probably should or could easily be number 1 overall, Clemson, where it's probably going to be another lopsided loss. Most likely. Trust me, I do not like saying that. I'm not excited to say that. I'm not happy that I'm going to sit here for 2 weeks and wait for this team to just get dismantled on their home field next week. But something's wrong. And I wasn't quite there yet last year. Lonzo was, and I remember talking on this program with you about that. I wasn't quite there, but I came into this season with that reservation, with that thought of, if we don't see this guy take this team a little further, if we don't see results defensively in big games, if we don't see results offensively against bad teams, it's got to end now. And we have seen all of that come to fruition, that this defense has faltered in games late against Florida and Tennessee. Both they had a lead in the second half. They faltered late against App State and let them take that lead and win that game. And then overall, we've seen the offense just completely ghost. Saturday was an embarrassment to the game of football, to be perfectly honest. That was beyond just, wow, the team I like was bad tonight. That was the worst football I can remember watching in quite some time. And that goes for Jimbo Fisher and A&M, too. That was bad. So Georgia fans, lucky for you, you're probably making the playoff if you can win the SEC, because A&M's not a challenge after what we saw on Saturday night. But you talked about the minimal hope. Like, how does this football team, what we've seen on the field results, even compete with Georgia, let alone they beat them? That is absolutely mind-boggling. And it's because of that, there's so many thoughts and emotions that have been surrounding this from the beginning, that apathy has to be what wins this. And it has to be. I cannot be the only one who's this apathetic right now and wasn't coming into the season, at least. I mean, if you were coming into the season, obviously you're going to be now. For you, Lonzo.
Very true. You know, the other thing is, I want to really dislike Will Muschamp, but he seems like a likable guy.
I've always liked him. Yeah. I covered him when I was in Florida. I was in Orlando when he was coaching the Gators, and we had him on all the time. He's hilarious. He's so easy to talk to on the air. Great interview. And you just want the guy to succeed.
Yeah, I think it would make it easier if he was unlikable.
Yeah.
So it would be like, obviously I don't like the guy. Look at his demeanor. Look at all. Yeah. If you were able to say all this stuff. But, you know, he says the right things. He can't really coach too well, but he seems like a nice guy.
He's a wonderful, a top-notch, and a historically successful defensive coordinator. And that's just it. And I think this goes, like, into a lot of things we talk about in sports that we need to think about, that sometimes you just do have a ceiling. You know, like, I'm probably never getting a call from Bristol to host SportsCenter. It's just not going to happen. I don't sit around waiting for that. And if it happened, I might just completely suck. That might happen. And then if that's the case, then my ceiling is probably doing local radio, you know, as a fill-in, maybe. Maybe that's just what it is for Muschamp. He's a top-notch recruiter. He's a top-notch defensive mind. And he can be a millionaire and a successful football coach in that respect. He's just not a head football coach. And we've seen it a lot of times in different things, even athletes. Tebow, one of the greatest college football quarterbacks of all time. Maybe he could have done better if he got more chances in the NFL. Maybe not, but it just didn't pan out. Manziel, one of the best we've ever seen in college. He was never going to be an NFL quarterback. Not a successful one.
You know, the other thing, coaches are recycled all the time. When Will Muschamp loses his job, and he's going to lose it, whether it's this year or next year, he's going to lose it. Does he get another head coaching job? I mean, this is two. You would think that there's no chance that he gets another one.
I would think after a few years, maybe he could get one in a Group of Five program. Maybe he could get one in an FCS, definitely. But I think Group of Five schools might come after a guy like him for the recruitability, for his ability to bring better talent to their lower program than they have, and maybe that'll turn into a better future for them. I mean, George O'Leary isn't responsible for what UCF did in their undefeated season and their claim and everything else. Scott Frost was the coach that year, but it was the groundwork George O'Leary set in that Group of Five program to build to what Scott Frost was able to do in that season. That's something that I could see Muschamp being in, where he could be moderately successful as a Group of Five head coach and recruit them to a base that somebody young and hungry could come in and take them to a level they've never seen. It's just proven now in a 9-8 year, you know, span. It's just not happening at the FBS collegiate level anymore. We've seen it at Florida, where he had all the resources, all the recruitment money, all the boosters, all the Bull Gators in the world. We've seen it now at Carolina, where we have the top-notch facilities, we have top-notch everything, and he's not getting it done. And something's wrong, something has to happen, something has to change with that dumpster fire. And the more and more people that vote apathy on this poll, the more and more scared Carlson, Tanner, and Muschamp should be about this program. Because apathy is the worst thing you can have in your fan base. We're going to shift a little bit from football over to the world of baseball because I love it so much. I'll only do two segments today on baseball, I promise. But this one is about a future franchise. Expansion is possibly coming to the future of Major League Baseball, and a group in Orlando led by my good friend Pat Williams has said they're pursuing that down there in Orlando. So it's time for Charlotte to step up. I will tell you why the Queen City deserves Major League Baseball way before Orlando next on the Diddy Takeover of Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate. As Mark always does, we read your tweets on air as long as you're following us here at ESPN Upstate. Let's get to a couple of those real quick before jumping into this new baseball topic. Speaking of our polls, a lot of people commenting on those, so I'll get to those as we get to the poll topics. On the Gamecock topic, it seems that Larry T thinks all of his friends said all of the above, his Gamecock friend. So he is sad, he is angry, he is apathetic, and he is other. Unfortunately, kind of can't be, but apathetic and sad and angry. But I get it. I get it. Maybe it's just a confusion of emotion because there's so much. Just so much emotion.
I was going to say, if you have multiple personalities, you can be all
of
those.
Fair. Yeah. That is very fair. And I understand. But apathy right now.
So do I. And so do I. And so do I.
Apathy right now winning that poll. And it's definitely what got my vote as well, because I'm out of energy. I'm out of energy to really have any emotion. I sat through that game Saturday night more just angry at myself for having to watch bad football and decided, hey, oh yeah, Oklahoma and Baylor, I should watch that and change the channel. So that's just the way it goes. But the world of baseball is expanding in sports, and a good friend of mine, he is the co-founder of the Orlando Magic, Mr. Pat Williams, announced yesterday in Orlando that the team he has put together is looking to bring baseball to the city beautiful. They also used a Google image that you could probably search baseball and use that as their logo. So that was pretty embarrassing, and just wrote Orlando Dreamers on it. Not sure what that team name is either. But really, if you knew the long story of Pat Williams, Orlando, and the MLB, you'd know that this is just a ploy to try to get the Rays. But that's a whole other story. My thing is, though, that Orlando does not deserve an MLB team before Charlotte. I mean, there's no way. And when you look at the cities that have been named by Manfred in the past handful of years, as far as expansion is concerned, Charlotte is on that list, Nashville as well. Orlando, I don't think, has made many of those comments that he's made, but I get what Pat Williams is doing. The long story of the Pat Williams thing is that he wanted baseball first. He was trying to bring baseball to Orlando. That's why he went to Orlando. Tampa already had the Trop. MLB said they're going to get the team in 94. Boom. Pat Williams and Jimmy Hewitt pivot, get the Magic. The rest is history. He still wants MLB. He never didn't want baseball in Orlando, and he's still sore, I guess you would say. He's still a little angry with the fact that MLB slighted him and Tampa kind of did him over there by building their stadium before having a franchise. So I know for a fact that his end game is not to get an expansion team. It's to get the Rays. But I've said this before, and I'll say it again, the Rays need to come to Charlotte because Charlotte deserves baseball. The Carolinas deserve baseball because we are heavy baseball fans. We do attend minor league baseball, high school baseball, college baseball. There's a lot of people that go to these games. I went to Malden. That was a big deal baseball program. Carolina, Clemson sell out their stadiums a lot of times for big games in college baseball. The Braves have a huge following across the country, but obviously definitely down here in the Southeast. Baseball isn't something that is a we don't care situation here. And the Carolinas as a whole is a major league entity. We have NHL and NBA and NFL. We do not have Major League Baseball. And if you're going to get a new team in Charlotte, and if you're Charlotte looking to try to get a new team, go get the Rays. Because one, this whole Montreal-Tampa split just isn't going to happen. Just not. That's a ploy for the owner of the Rays to try to get money to build a new stadium, which also is not going to happen. We've gone through this for a decade now, two. They're not getting a new stadium in Tampa. So what Pat Williams is doing, and I think it's a smart idea, is making a play that, oh, we want expansion, bring us a new franchise. But really he's trying to say, hey, nobody goes to those games. If you put them here, it'll do better. So as an entity, Carolina and Charlotte needs to go after that team and bring a winner immediately. You don't want an expansion team. Ask Tampa. Took a long time for them to get to what they are right now on the field. Ask the Marlins. They had to buy a World Series and then suck for another 10 years and then buy another World Series. Well, that one was on accident, really. It was a fluke year and then suck again forever. You don't want expansion teams right now in sports. It's too weighted, especially in baseball. But if you can put the Tampa Bay Rays, the entity that is that right now, that roster, that coach, that staff, and put them in a city that actually shows up and supports in mass, they're not going to have the lowest payroll in baseball anymore, and I guarantee you they'll get past just having 96-win seasons and no playoff series wins. They'll be a World Series contender for real because they can add that last piece with money. They're never going to have that money to add the piece in Tampa. They'll get it in Orlando, but why go to Orlando where you have 280,000 people when you can come to Charlotte with 859,000 people who sell out the Charlotte Knights minor league games all the time. So it's, to me, ridiculous to sit idly right now. I think Pat Williams has made the move that needs to push Charlotte forward, that Charlotte needs to follow suit now, that Charlotte needs to jump as fast as possible to say, whoa, 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 we know what he's trying to do down there. We want the Rays. I'll tell you what, I'll be going. If you put an expansion team up there, you're going to have a harder time getting people to drive up there from down here for baseball. If you put the Rays there, I bet you there's more people who travel. A team that's winning, a team that has opponents that everybody knows, the Yankees, the Red Sox, they play them, they'll be nine times a year at home. I think it's time for Charlotte to make that move because we deserve every major league sport in the Carolinas. And since they're not going to give us anything down here in South Carolina, which to me is a joke, and I agree with Mark Ryan that, what is it, 20 years we're supposed to be the bigger city between Charlotte and Greenville, something like that. I don't know if it'll necessarily get to that, but we'll get up to that level, so I don't mind us getting something. But if we can't have anything, then I want everything in Charlotte. I don't like going to Atlanta. It's too far. You agree, Lonzo?
Yeah, I've only been to Atlanta like twice since I've been here.
I go to Charlotte all the time.
Yeah.
It's an hour and a half.
I went to a pay-per-view in Atlanta, and I went to Six Flags, which is past Atlanta.
Yeah.
So only two times I go to Charlotte all the time.
So, yeah. So please, Major League Baseball, or please, Charlotte, just do this for us. Mark Ryan, he's been investigating with our friend Lonzo here who the Upstate's NFL team is. So I started thinking, well, what about other sports? Who does the Upstate cheer for in the association? It's basketball season, right? We're supposed to care about this sport too, or are we? Does the NBA matter in Greenville, South Carolina? We'll talk about that next on ESPN Upstate. I'd love to claim that I had something to do with it as a weekly guest, but that's all Mark and Lonzo's award. Congrats, guys.
It was a fun evening, though.
It really was. We were all there for that. I was there for that night. That was a fun night.
That was your first one, too. So
it was the first one I went to, and I won a few awards for production, sitting downstairs.
And even the ones you didn't win, you got to go up and pick those up, too.
It was great. I was picking up like 17 awards that night, and half of them weren't mine.
Yeah, our building did quite well.
Yes, I accepted for Sturge. Accepted for our friends in production that weren't there. It was fun. I was just going up every other award with our boss and looking like a big shot down there in Columbia.
And probably the first and only time I'll ever be dressed as a mime. But, you know.
But it was so good.
Yes, it was.
So good. But Diddy is here, obviously. I am not Mark Ryan. Diddy in for Mark Ryan. Lonzo, the other voice in the room. You can chime in on anything. Call us 844-477-3776. Text us at 371-307, excuse me. Start that message with ESPN or get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We do have a bunch of polls going, and one of them is the topic of this segment because Mark Ryan and Lonzo have kind of been asking the question of who the NFL NFL team of popularity is around these parts. And I guess the Cowboys are making some headway over some of the conversations I've heard recently. So I thought, you know, NBA season is back. People talk basketball in this town a little bit, at least. And I wondered, does there exist a fan base for the upstate of South Carolina? And I don't think there does. We have results so far, and this poll will go through the end of the show. But the Twitter poll number 3, who is the upstate's NBA team, Hornets, Hawks, no team, or other? 50% of the vote, no team. No team. The only response of anybody to the tweet, as far as like telling us what their answer was for other, is anybody LeBron James plays for. So,
and no, I didn't.
And it wasn't Lonzo. It was not Lonzo.
It was not me.
Totally different person. We can give him some credit. Let me find him. I got to scroll back. We've had a few answers. It was Harry, not fake Harry. So it's real Harry. The real Harry.
So me and the real Harry are on the same page.
LeBron James. And I get that, because as a kid, NBA-wise, until I was like 10, 11 and moved to Sacramento, became a huge Kings fan, I was a player fan. So it was like, who's the player I like to watch? Okay, I like their team now. So I get the LeBron thing, and I wonder if that's what this area just is. This area, because we hadn't had any kind of major team in this city, in our two cities, in Spartanburg and Greenville, we, you know, either can go to the closest ones of Charlotte and Atlanta or just decide, meh, I like that player. I'll cheer for them. But so far, no team. No team is the answer. But we're going to get back to a team that a lot of us do like and a lot of us do hate here in the upstate, and that is the Gamecocks. Will Muschamp and the university itself, they're worried about something other than football for next Saturday. And honestly, to me as a Gamecock fan and graduate, it is embarrassing that it needs to be addressed at all. I'll explain that next on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.